Blog Talk Radio. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love this time of the day. I love how the cool, crisp night air kisses the ground, leaving behind a gentle layer of dew. I love looking up into the night sky and seeing the moon shining down upon us like an old, trusted friend. I look forward to spending our Thursday nights here together on Blog Talk Radio as we travel together on this journey into the night.
Barton, and I'm here with my co-host and partner in crime, Lisa Vandeveer. Hey, Lisa, you want to say hi to everybody this evening?
Good evening, everyone. Glad you all are with us tonight. And boy, do we have an exciting show for you tonight, so it's going to be fun.
Yes, we do.
Looking forward to it.
even your dog was excited.
Yeah. That kind of happens sometimes.
No, oh, I thought it was cute. I was like, woohoo! That was so funny. So anyway, Lisa.
Yes. Go ahead.
So Lisa, what kind of week have you had this week?
Relatively calm. I'm homeschooling, as most every one of you know. So we did test this week, so that was fun. She did well, so maybe that's because she's got such a good teacher.
Well, of course it is. That's why it does, yeah.
Right. Right. But how has your week been?
Well, we've already talked about it. We won't go into it that I've been a screaming Mimi. Let's just say, everybody, my computer died. I had to go buy a new one, and now I'm having to learn Windows 10. Yikes! Not fun.
You can
but anyway,
it, I have faith in you.
I'm glad you do because I'm really we're supposed to have that Coriana or whatever the name is thing. You're supposed to be able to ask it questions and it helps you. Well, the only thing it seems to be doing for me is taking me to the website where I have to read about it. I want her to show me how to do it and do it herself. But I guess it doesn't.
I never got her to work for me, so I don't like her.
Oh, well, I guess that's just asking for too much, huh?
Yep.
Anyway, let's get to the fun part. All right, tonight we are going to be bringing you double the fun. We are so excited to have Randall P. Dart returning to share with us what he's been working on here lately. As you all know, he's been a guest twice before, and each time he is just an absolute joy. Lisa and I just adore him greatly. But tonight, he's bringing a friend along with him, a friend from Canada. So this is going to be interesting. Randall is busy working on the Sandy Shore Story. Ugh, can't even talk tonight. The Sandy Shore Story, a tell-all that's currently in production. Randall is directing this documentary and is working on several different projects. So we know tonight is going to be a lot of fun to hear about everything he's doing. So without further ado, let's bring Randall back on and wish him a warm Deadly Reads hello. Hi, Randall. How's it going this evening?
Hi, Randall.
Hi, ladies. It's going fantastic, and thank you again for having me on. I love being on your show. It's so much fun, and I can't wait to tell you what Doug and I are up to.
Great. Yes. Why don't you introduce Doug and give a little bit of background on him, and then we can let him just tell us all about himself. How's that sound?
That sounds fantastic. So what's fun about this story is many, many years ago, I wanted to direct. I had seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show when I was visiting my brother in London, England. And I saw Rocky Horror Picture Show and I went, I want to direct it. And I saw the original cast. We're talking, you know, Tim Curry and just Meatloaf and all the guys that were, you know, put it together in London. And I saw it and I went, I want to direct it. So when I flew back to Canada, I tried to get the rights to direct it. And I couldn't. So I went, well, I'll show everybody. I'm going to write, direct, and produce my own musical called Starboy. And, you know, I did that. And when I was casting it, I've done it three different times. And one of the times I was casting it, I wanted a good-looking, very talented actor, singer. Yeah, he didn't even have to dance that much, but he had to grind a little bit like Elvis. And I came across this gentleman called Doug, and I cast him as the lead role, as the star of Starboy, where he, you know, it's a long, funny little you know, musical, but at the end of the day, he has to headline a show in Las Vegas. And Doug had the looks, the talent, the pizzazz to pull off my musical, and the rest is history. We've remained friends for many, many years, and that's how I met Doug. And at this point, I'll let Doug tell you the rest of the story and his background.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, everyone. Dad. Greetings from Canada, as you said. Let's see, where to begin? My singing career goes back, I guess, to the late 50s and early 60s. I started in church choirs. Fell in love with music. I fell in love with the sound of voices inside of a building like a church. So you can see how that would blend into recording studios later, just that whole echoey kind of voice thing. I went from singing in churches to bands in the early 60s. This is just pre-Beatles, so the Beatles hadn't hit yet, so we didn't have the Mop Tops, but certainly we were trying to copy the Elvis and Buddy Holly and some of that sound. Played in local bands around in Eastern Canada, high schools and churches, and then we started playing in armed forces bases, and that kind of got us out of the town we were living in, so we got a chance to do a little bit of touring in Eastern Canada for across armed forces bases, but I played in bands for, oh my gosh, for a long, long time, in every style and genre, up to playing in a punk band in the late 1970s. The time that I met Randall, I had been doing a lot of entrepreneurial stuff as well. I started the first video store in Eastern Canada back in 1980 with the Betamax tapes on my shelf. But I went down for a cattle call to see whether I would like this musical called Starboy. And ever since then, I hate to say it, but my life has changed. I've married music completely. I've been, Sandy Shore came along after that, and I've been doing the Sandy Shore show for a number of years. I love to sing. I love to be on stage. My acting career started back in doing community theater back when I was about 10 or 11 years old and out through high school, etc. But the big break was doing Starboy for Randall. It was just the cat's meow. We played in both Eastern Canada and Ottawa, and then we took the production out to Calgary, to Western Canada. And I don't think I've ever had as much fun, and our friendship was forged with Starboy. So I am so looking forward to moving forward with the production of the Sandy Shore story. I just couldn't say enough.
Oh, wow. That's really something. I bet it's a real joy to work with Randall, because just talking with him on our shows, we enjoy it. So I can totally see where he would be a pleasure to work with on the set. So, I can totally understand that. So now you've done the Las Vegas show scene then on the Strip and all that?
I have not. Sandy Shore has, but more fictionally than in real life.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So tell us a little bit about Sandy, this persona. Tell us about Sandy.
Sandy is a performer who grew up in the school of hard knocks, paid his dues on the street, played in basement bars, not very fancy places. He, as his career progressed, he was playing better places. As Sandy Shore, I played down in Mexico with a few of the resorts. I just came back from a partly recreational and partly performance tour. I played in Assisi, Italy, just north of Rome, back in May. I ran on a tour, and Sandy just had to find a gig, so we found a fantastic gig at the Hotel Giotto in Assisi, and brought the house down. So he's kind of been playing here and there. Haven't been to Vegas yet. I'm hoping that we film in Vegas, and then I can honestly say to you next time we have an interview that yes, Sandy has played the Strip.
Now, have you ever thought about doing the cruise ship thing? Because I know a lot of people get involved in entertainment do that also. Has that been something you thought of?
I have thought about that. However, I've fallen in love over the past number of years with the Mayan Riviera in Mexico. And I know a few of the folks that are working in some of the larger resorts. And I'm thinking that that might be a very interesting, I don't want to say a retirement idea, but when I get tired of working, that would be a nice place to kind of set up my microphone and take it from there.
I know I was always amazed. We've been on several cruises, and it always amazed me how those people could be up on the stage, whether they were singing, dancing, whatever they were doing to entertain us. And the ship, if it was in a little bit rough waters, you know, everybody else, you know, the passengers were hanging on the walls trying to walk, and they wouldn't miss a beat. It just amazed me. It was like, you know, you see the women up there kicking and, you know, and doing all that fancy dancer that we had. One night, we had some pretty high waves, and there was a guy doing, you know, magic and everything. And he never missed a lick. It was just, I just was in awe.
When you're a professional.
So I just wonder if you'd ever thought about doing that one. So, but anyway, well, great.
It's kind of on my list. Sorry, it's kind of on my list, but kind of on the back burner.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I don't blame you. So now, Randall, was this your brainchild, the Sandy Shore story? Was that your brainchild, or was it something you cooked up together, or how did that come to be?
Absolutely not. I would love to take credit for this, but no, Doug, this is Doug's vision. It's his character. And just to be clear, we're in pre-production right now. We're not in production,
mm-hmm.
so we're working on script. We're working on locations. We're looking on everything. But we'll develop the story and flesh out the story together, but this is completely Doug's brainchild. It's his vision. I'm just lucky to come along for the ride.
Wow. Sounds like you guys are going to have a lot of fun. Now, when do you think you'll be able to start production? What's your goal?
Well, it's all about, you know, the secret to this, the entertainment business is funding. And some things get funded very, very quickly. Some things, you know, my last movie, to be brutally honest, it took 5 years to raise the money to make the movie happen. And so, you know, Doug and I have just started raising money. We've got a little crowdfunding like everyone where friends and family can kick in. I've talked to, I'm blessed, you know, I have an interesting reputation with a lot of manufacturers, so I've already secured, you know, cameras and some lights and some of the things that normally you have to rent and it costs a lot of money, but because of a lot of my manufacturer friends are going, hey, Randall, we hear you're going to direct a feature film. What camera would you like from us? So we've got lot of things.
Yeah, I'm very,
I've got a lot of really nice friends out there.
That's great.
I'm sure I don't deserve. But anyway, the good news is we've got a lot of the technology lined up, but you want to pay actors, a decent wage. You want to have hotels and per diems, and you got to fly them in and stuff. So we're in the pre-production fundraising part of it. So the actual date we want to start principal photography is based on funding. So I'm just saying it took me 5 years to raise money to do the last movie I did. I'm looking at being able to pull the trigger, no pun intended, on this much sooner than 5 years. But again, it's it's all about, you know, in today's economy, it's very tricky to raise money. I I've got a documentary I want to direct that is an important documentary about social issues and social reforms. And you think people would go, we want to throw money at this, and because it's an important idea, it's an important concept, but money is very difficult in the entertainment business. So it just takes time. And again, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it and there'd be a lot of bad content out there. So the good news is it takes time. You're patient. You're due diligent. You work very hard. You surround yourself with very talented people. Like, you know, I've got my crew lined up for, you know, working with Doug. And obviously I've worked with Doug. I know he's smart. He's unbelievably talented. He's a good man. And at this point in my career, you know, there's certain projects that I know I'd make a lot of money doing, but I won't do because I don't want my name associated with the project. I don't want to be involved with the type of people. So I'd rather have difficulties raising money and taking a longer time to do the right thing as opposed to go, oh, yeah, this is an easy project, but it's got a lot of nudity and a lot of violence. And you know what? I'm not doing that. I don't care how much money you throw at me. I'm not doing that. So when I met, you know, recently Doug and I talked about the project and what we want to do, and there's going to be an interesting, you know, side to it. It's not all flowers and rainbows. You know, it's a story, a compelling story. But we're not dehumanizing people. We want to evoke a cathartic response, and we want to at the end of the day, it's an uplifting story. It's like Starboy. Starboy is a fun little musical, and it's this guy who accidentally sells his soul to be a rock star in Vegas, and at the end of the day, you want them to succeed. You know, so the type of shows I want to do at this point in my career need to be uplifting. It's like the documentary I did about Macario's A Rising Tide. You know, I went to the Dominican Republic, and I show that documentary is about showing why you educate, why you feed, you know, children, because if you don't do that, they're the next generation. You've got to help out. So everything that I do has an uplifting story. And you know, Doug's a good man. I love working with him when we did theater together. I can't wait to direct him in a feature film. So it's, and you, at this point, you pick and choose what you want to do, why you're doing it, and who you're doing it with. Because at the end of the day, when I die, I don't want people to go, well, let's Google search Randall Darkin. Ooh, he did that horrible movie about demons and the slasher. And I'm, you know, don't get me wrong. There's a place for those sort of movies. I'm not saying you should. Now, I'm not commenting on people that do that. I don't want to do those movies. I want the hero story. I want the, at the end of the day, when you walk out of a movie theater, you're uplifted and you go, I believe I could be the next, you know, Sandy Shore or the next Doug or the next whatever. At this point I want uplifting stories. I want people to smile or sing a song as they exit. Now, early in my career, like I think I wrote, directed, and produced like 13 different plays, and some of them were really weird psychodramas where there was, you know, it was, again, it was social reform, and it was, you know, try to educate people, but they were just dark, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. They were dark plays. But what I want to do with Sandy Shore and with Doug is, sure, there's going to be conflict and there's going to be, you know, hitting the rock bottom, but it's going to be uplifting at the end of the day. And mm-hmm. you want people to walk out of a movie theater going, number one, they got their money's worth, because, you know, money is so hard. You know, it's so hard to make a dollar. And whether it's a play I've directed or, you know, my app, Tale of Sasquatch, where someone buys it, it's someone's hard-earned dollar. And I respect how hard they've worked to make that. And I consider, and here's what's weird about my little brain, I consider it an honor that someone has invested their hard-earned money instead of going over here or buying this over there or going to a different movie. They've invested in something that I've worked on with mm-hmm. whether it's Hal from Tale of Sasquatch or Doug with the Sandy Shore. It's an honor mm-hmm. for them to do that. And I don't look at that lightly. I'm not, you know, it's weird. My career, there's times I've made a left where I really should have made a right. And if I had taken a right, I would have made more money. But at the end of the day, when I put my head on the pillow, I sleep like a baby, because you do the right things. Does that make sense? Or am I just babbling?
Yeah. No, it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
It makes complete sense. You know, I think a lot of it is, as you get older, you understand life a lot more than when you're young, you know, and because you've been through so a lot. And it sounds like, you know, this story that you guys are going to be telling sounds like a story of redemption, you know.
Well, I think at this point, I think Doug, why don't you cast the vision of it? Doug is Sandy Shore, so Doug, go ahead.
Okay.
I think at this point,
go ahead, Doug. Throw in
what mm-hmm. you think.
The Sandy Shore story pretty much mirrors a lot of my own personal story in the music business.
Mm-hmm.
When I was writing out what this would kind of be, actually I've got a paragraph in front of me here, or a couple of small ones. I'll just go through this. The Sandy Shore story will tell the tale of an unlikely performer who, after many years of paying his dues, finally makes it to the big time, heading as a singing sensation on the Las Vegas Strip. Now, that's kind of been a dream of mine. I mean, that was one of the things we went through in Starboy, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm standing on stage in a makeup Las Vegas nightclub, but I really felt I was there. I had a white tuxedo and girls with feathered boas leading me out onto the stage. It was unbelievable. So with the Sandy story, I think we're going to have a bit of a twist. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to happen, but I've had a lot of really weird people as part of my entourage in different bands, etc. So I thought that'd be nice to carry that to the Sandy Shore story, that he surrounds himself with a motley crew of misfits. And this will probably happen in the Las Vegas part of the movie. And before then, and then that will probably cause the downfall. I'll fall out of favor in Las Vegas. And In part of the media kit that I was putting together, I have a paragraph here, and I'll read it verbatim. As luck or fate would have it, Sandy surrounded himself with a motley crew of entertaining misfits, and it wasn't long before the bright lights of the Strip were replaced by the headlights of a rented SUV cruising down the back roads of small-town Canada. So when Randall talks about, yeah, there are going to be great times and real uplifting moments, there are some things that hit you right between the eyes in the music business, and it's happened to me a number of times on a much smaller scale than what it's going to be with Sandy, I think, but it's going to be an up and down, but by the end of it, it should be one of those, oh my gosh, it'll be the do's and don'ts of what to do in the entertainment industry, and I hope we can tell a really, really entertaining story.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Sounds interesting. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have to be careful with who you connect yourself with in any, you know, form of entertainment, because there are people out there that are going to do bad. You hear so many stories over the years of different people that surrounded themselves with people that were just not only financial leeches, but emotional leeches, and kind of sucked and dry everything.
With boxers like Mike Tyson, and it happens in all walks of top-notch
mm-hmm.
entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean Elvis for one. Look, I still say that, you know, if they cared about him, they would have helped him, you know, and different people like that.
That's
so
true. You're right.
You know, so, you know, but I mean, it happens so much, and people just get blinded by the lights and the glitz and the money, and
yeah,
they forget that,
you know,
they forget
often,
about life.
Right. I often call those people, you know, I've seen it through this, like you said, through some of some of the celebrities, they have yes men, mm-hmm. you know, attached to them, you know, and they're so afraid to say, you know, contradict the star and everything. So I think that's what happened with Elvis and, you know, a couple of other, you know, pop singers their lives ended in tragedy because they didn't have the correct people, you know, with them. So.
Yep. Understood.
So now, how long of a movie is this, and lengthwise, is it hour and a half, 2 hours? I mean, how much time or?
It will be pretty well standard, you know, but you're looking at probably just under an hour and a half to tell the complete story. Yeah.
Mhm. Oh, okay. Okay. Cool. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a good one. I can't wait to check it out. Sounds like it'll be good. Now, you'll be singing in the movie and everything, correct?
There will be a fair bit of singing if I have my way, for sure.
Yay!
And we're not going to dub him. We're actually going to use his real voice. So it's not like some of these movies where you see someone mouthing and there's a professional singer in the, you know, doing it in a recording studio. And now Doug will be you. Sandy and Doug are the same person. We will be, and I'm a big fan of Nat Sound. I'm a big fan of catching the energy. Obviously there's many types of movies, but I don't want to be, make it that simple. But, you know, there's different ways to do things like this. I'd rather mm-hmm. get the organic, raw, in the field moment, and maybe the audio is mm-hmm. not perfect studio, but you get mm-hmm. it's all about performance. And, you know, what's going to make Sandy work is you see him and when he belts these songs, I want the audience to be like they're sitting at his feet, or they're on the cruise ship, or they're wherever he is with them, as opposed to
mm-hmm.
you know, you shoot it and then you perfect the sound in a very, very expensive sound stage with a, you know, an orchestra, and, you know, you tweak it. And I'm not saying that's wrong. There are certain musicals that are done that way, and I think they're brilliant and they're wonderful. I want this raw. The way, you know, the way I'm going to shoot it is, obviously I'm directing it. I'm going to have a cinematographer, but some of the scenes I'm going to physically hold the camera, be on the stage in an environment with Sandy Shore, and I'm personally going to shoot with wide angle lens, like 4 feet in front of him, you know, and the audience will be behind me yelling and screaming and cheering, and it's going to have that intimacy. And if the audio is, if he misses a note a little bit, I don't care. That's real
mm-hmm.
life.
I've
shot a lot of, you know, high end concerts in my career. You know, I've
mm-hmm.
been to places where, you know, the sound is raw. And then I've been to places where, obviously, I've been in recording studios with top artists, and we perfect every note. I want this organic. I want it raw. I want the audience members to just lose themselves in the moment because it's so real. And again, the way we're going to shoot it and where it's going to be lit, it's not old school. Again, I'm a technologist. You know, I'm testing a new 4K camera right now, and I'm going to test an 8K camera soon. So you know that when I bring a director's hat to the table, I'm also a technologist. So we're going to shoot it. It's going to be gritty, but we're going to shoot it in 4K in a gritty way. And when people go, well, you know, that's an oxymoron, 4K, gritty, what's that mean? Well, what's exciting about you know, working with Doug, he has that end of it, and I have this end of it. And between us, we're going to create a program that is going to be hopefully very, very entertaining, visually stunning in a way where it's not just pretty pictures. You know, there's certain movies out of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Africa, it's a beautiful shot. It's you could freeze a frame out of Africa and put it on your wall as a painting, for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing that. There are times where Sandy Shore is going to like drop dead gorgeous heartthrob, and other times we'll catch him where he's, you know, he's just down and he's out and the camera's in his face and you look at him and you go, you know, it breaks my heart. And you see the
mm-hmm.
flaws. And then we all have flaws, you know, and that's
right,
why,
yeah.
That's why, and that's, and I know my flaws. And I love, you know, when we're talking about what makes us talented and what makes us, you know, creative, and then what holds us back.
Mm-hmm.
And with Sandy, we're going to expose his flaws. And at the end, again, you know, I'm a Disney fan, so at the end, you want people to walk out of the theater feeling uplifted, feeling that, you know, if he can do it, I can do it. You know, I'm tired
mm-hmm.
of seeing things where you walk out of a theater and you're manically depressed and you just go, well, that was really well done and entertaining, but man, what a bummer. We want a roller coaster ride. Trust me, it will. This is going to be a roller coaster ride. But at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
I want that snapshot where everyone's hands are up in the air and they got those crazy smiles on their face and they're going, what a great ride that was. That's
mm-hmm.
the journey Doug and I want to take people on.
Absolutely.
And that's good. You know, like you're talking about, you want him to be the one doing the actual singing. I mean, nothing annoys me more than you watch the different shows when they have the big celebrities on there. And you know they're lip syncing because they're out there dancing really hard.
Yeah.
And nobody's
yeah.
voice is going to be that smooth if you're dancing that hard.
Right.
Yeah,
it's,
but you're
fake.
Your IQ is a little higher than a lot of people. They don't notice that. They don't think about it. But that is so true, is that
mm-hmm.
when you see these phenomenal dance routines, and you know, and trust me, I won't name names, but I've shot that stuff. And at the end of the day, you go, you know what? That's cheating. No, but it's not. And here's where it's kind of weird for me. If people say, look, no problem, we're lip syncing, and because we're doing a phenomenal dance routine, and yeah, we're lip syncing, and they put that kind of out there, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But where it troubles mm-hmm. me, where it's presented as reality and it's not. If it's not
right.
presented as reality, and a lot of that is frame rate. So here, at a technical level, and this is going to bore a lot of people, but if you shoot it at, let's say, you know, 30p or 60p, so it's a fast frame rate, and you're really singing, I love that because you can see it. But if you're going to shoot 24 frames per second, which has that film feel to it, and you're, you know, 20, and I think that's archaic, but it gives you the film look. Then you can lip sync it all you want because you're romanticizing the moment. What makes, you know, Out of Africa so brilliant is great acting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you got two phenomenal actors. You've got a brilliant director, but it's shot at 24 frames per second in Africa. It's telling a romantic story that happened many years ago. That is
mm-hmm.
brilliant storytelling, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem if Humphrey and Kate, Catherine broke into song, I would have gone, I buy it because it's the way they shot it, the way they, you know, they told that story. On the
mm-hmm.
flip side, when I'm shooting a documentary and I'm shooting at a fast frame rate and I'm shooting in an ultra high definition, so it's like you're there, I'm not going to fake it. Because it's like my documentary Macario's A Rising Tide when I was in the Dominican Republic. I wanted to show why you educate, why you feed starving children in an environment like the Dominican Republic. I wasn't going to shoot that at 24 frames per second. I didn't want it to have that dreamy, romantic vibe to it. I didn't want you to see these cute, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful children running around in filth and and they are hungry. I didn't want that at 24 frames per second. I didn't want it in the film look. I wanted it hyper real. So when you saw it on your high definition TV at home and you watched these children, you'd go, my goodness, look at where they're living. How can I help them? I want to help them. I want to help educate them. Mm-hmm. I want to help feed them. But I think I talked about this last time I was on the show. So what I'm a storyteller. I'm a writer, director, producer, but I understand the physics of things in this business. So when I look at Macario's Rising Tide, I want that at a high frame rate. I want to rip your heart out to see these children, and you want to help them. Hey, when mm-hmm. I'm shooting Sandy Shore and he's crooning up on a Vegas store, stage, and he's got girls swooning, I want that to be romantic. I want people to think of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers and that whole mm-hmm. vibe where I love those movies. And mm-hmm. so if we're looking at how I want to tell the Sandy story, I want it to be relevant. I want it to be contemporary. But I want people to feel that old throwback of going, man, he's up there crooning. I'm thinking Dean Martin. I'm thinking Frank Sinatra. You know what I mean? That's the vibe that I think Doug and I can create together with this project.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds wonderful. I love those old movies, and I love that style of singing. And, okay, yes, I'm dating myself. I love that feel, I have a hard time with a lot of the music nowadays. A lot of it doesn't mm-hmm. have any soul, if I guess that's the best way. And I don't mean soul music. I mean soul,
Right.
I don't get caught up in too much of the newer stuff. So I can understand where you're coming on that. So, yeah, that sounds good. Now, the parts where you're wanting him to look gritty, then you're not going to have the 24-frame thing. You'll be doing the more high-def on those parts?
All that's done in post-production. The thing is, what I mm-hmm. because of the toys, I call them toys, but the technology we have right now, I shoot everything in a very, very high capture. I capture as much information as possible. And then when I sit in the edit suite, I can do anything I want with it. I directed a music video a little while ago where it went from black and white to color. It went from it looking pristine to scratchy 16 millimeter. Well, the whole thing was shot mm-hmm. with the same camera. You just create the effects in post-production.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I didn't realize that's how you done that. I guess, like you said, with the technology, you can shoot however you shoot on scene and then take it somewhere and edit.
When I teach at different groups where I'll be asked to speak someplace or lecture someplace, what I tell young mm-hmm. filmmakers, I go, close your eyes and visualize mm-hmm. anything you want, and mm-hmm. visually any direction you want to take it. Because we have geniuses out there that are creating the technology for us, and it's being standardized by people like Cynthia. So I look at all the toys mm-hmm. I have out there, the cameras and the post-production ability, and close your eyes and imagine whatever you want. I can make it look that way. And I don't have to capture it that way in the field. In the field, mm-hmm. as a director, I have a good cinematographer, and we frame it right and we capture it right, but we capture an amazing amount of information. My job as the director is to have the vision mm-hmm. of it. When I close my eyes, honestly, I see this entire movie edited in my head. Now, is it going to end up the way I see it? Of course not, because Doug's going to want this or that, or and the DP will shoot something where I just go, oh, I didn't even think of that. That's brilliant. You see, the difference between how I like to work is a group. Yes, I am the commander of the ship as the director, but I want input. Like, I've been doing productions where my production assistant, the lowest on the totem pole, will come to me, and again, they can't go, hey, Randall, in the middle of a take, or hey, Randall, in the middle of something that I'm doing. Yeah. But, you know, when there's a quiet moment and I'm over having a sip of water, I'll even let a production assistant come to me and go, hey, Randall, I just thought of this idea. It may sound silly, but, you know, what happens if we do this? And I'll look at them and I'll go, that's a great idea, but I can't do that, and here are the three reasons why I can't, but thank you for sharing. Or I'll go, you know what, I didn't think of that, that's brilliant, I'm going to do it. So, Doug will know this from working with me in on the stage. That's how, as a director from the age of, I started directing when I was 16 years old. That's how I've worked with actors and actresses and the creative team my entire career, is that I'm not a protectionist. My ego is so big, it's tiny. So anyone can come in and go, hey, Randall, what about this? And if it's a better idea, like, the one thing I have is great vision. I recognize when someone comes up with a better idea than the idea I have at the moment. Trust me on this. I'll go,
I don't think there's many of them out there like you, though, are there?
Oh, I don't know, but you know what's hilarious? At the end of the day, like, my wife, Kristen, produced a lot of my documentaries, and she would come up with brilliant ideas, and she was the producer, and a lot of them were really, really good directing ideas too. And at the end of the day, when it got sent to Discovery or Mark Cuban's HDNet or whoever was broadcasting it, at the end of the day, when the credits rolled, it still said directed by Randall Darcy.
Yeah.
So I'm going, you know what?
That's true.
But I turned to Kristen, and I'll turn to Doug, and I'll turn to Sally, and I'll turn to Fred, and I'll go, gentlemen, ladies, thank you so much for your input, because you make us better, and you have to work that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Doug, were you the one that wrote the screenplay for this, or was this a joint effort with somebody else, or how did the screenplay come about for this project?
Well, it's pretty much my story, because I had to kind of reach into myself and bring little pieces of kind of pre-Sandy, but part of Sandy's career, just with a different twist. Randall's kind of helped me with providing a little bit of direction, but it's I think the storyline so far, and as Randall says, we haven't done the screenplay yet totally, but I think the rise and fall and having this kind of quirky group of misfits in Las Vegas, a lot of these pieces I think will stay, but it's funny to say, but a lot of the Sandy Shore story is the Dougie McRae story.
Well, you know, as Lisa and I are authors, and in certain books we've written, you end up putting yourself in things. You know, I just finished a book that's coming out for Christmas, and there is so much of me in there, it's scary, you know, and just little blips of my life. So I'm sure that's the same way with your story, you know. I mean, we find ourselves putting ourselves in there, you know. It's not all of it, just those little blips, you know, little important moments. And I'm sure that's what's going to be in your story, too, you know. That's very, very common, believe me. You know.
I'm so looking forward to this. You can hear the excitement in my voice.
I know. I can hear it. So now, where is this? Is this going to be in theaters, or is this going to be, like, for television? Or what do you see this movie being as?
Well, the as all these projects start, the vision is create a theatrical experience. That's the vision. Now, because, you know, economics, because of funding, depending on, you know, where we go with funding and how it and who buys it, that may change. But right now, Doug's plan and my plan is shoot the feature film, have theatrical release, and then the spinoffs off that. And you know, anyone at this point in putting, it's like, you know, the other project I'm directing, A Brother's Badge, you know, the same sort of thing, is that the visions for, you know, we're in pre-production for all these different projects. You look for the ultimate goal is massive theatrical distribution. But again, you know, that will evolve. Nobody, unless you work for a studio, you know, we're independent filmmakers. Independent filmmakers go, there's, you know, there's different ways, obviously different paths. But the path that I have chosen almost my entire career is find the funding, go do it, and then go market it. You know, I've been blessed by the fact that, you know, a lot of my documentaries have been picked up by HDNet and Axe TV, you know, Mark Cuban's channel. My feature film was picked up by Lionsgate, you know, Angel Sing, and they released it. But they picked it up after it was done. You know, closing escrow is the same thing. You create the program. It's Fast from the Past. My latest, you know, documentary that I just directed, that the, you know, vintage car racing and you know, the pilot, again, we shot it, we edited it, and then we go market it. So I'm an optimist. You know, at the end of the day, and I've said this before, at the end of the day, you know, people go, is the glass half empty or half full? I go, are you kidding me? I have a glass. I'm already way ahead of everybody. I have a freaking glass. Shush. Yeah. So that's why I view the world. People say I'm Pollyanna. I don't care if they say I'm Pollyanna. I wake up every morning and look how blessed I am. I look at my wife, who's beautiful and smart and talented. I have a cute little puppy named Beans, who's a Jack Russell, who I love dearly. I'm working with Doug, who I worked with many years ago in theater, and I like Doug. He's a good man. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? So how I look at these things is I'm an optimist. I think Doug and I are going to create a really fun, entertaining show. And what's brilliant about where we are today at a technology level is my 1 degree of separation, my social networking reach with Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, blah, 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 I'm at like 25,000 people. And so the other thing that's exciting about today is if you do a cost-effective program, whether it's a documentary, and if any young filmmaker or documentarian is listening, listen closely right now because this is words of advice. Develop your social networking reach, because I know at the end of the day, if I do a project where I, Randall Dark, have 25,000 one degree of separation through my social networking, and I know Doug has X number of thousand, and we're going to bring in Mary Jane, who has 32,000, and then we bring in all these different people. And if you do the math and you go, your cast, your crew, your friends, your family, you're now probably at about, let's be conservative, let's say 750,000 one degree of separation from social networking. And worst case scenario, maybe Lionsgate doesn't pick it up and maybe Sony doesn't pick it up. And we go, you know, guys, it costs us X number of dollars to do. Let's do a $1.99 digital download. We do our shared revenue and let's reach out through social networking. Will we make our money back? What's brilliant about today's technology is that if you have a great story and you tell it well and you keep the costs down, you can make your money.
Oh, yeah. Look at all the people that have made lots of money with their YouTube channels.
Yeah.
These are people doing it in their bedrooms or whatever, you know. And they're making, you know, six figures and stuff. So, I mean, it's technology has really opened the doors for people who have exciting ideas that they want to do and put out there. And it's made it possible. So, yeah, completely. You know, that's like with Lisa and I, we're independent authors, you know, because of, you know, Amazon and, you know, and iTunes and all those other ones, we're able to write our books, put them out there, and, you know, we don't have that high overhead, you know.
And that's what I love about you, too. You guys are really nice ladies to begin with, and I have a lot of respect for you. The other thing I love about you, too, is that you understand technology. I'm a big fan of you guys on Facebook, and I see your postings, and I'm going, YouTube, get it. And that's why I love speaking with you, because a lot of people go, wow, yeah, well, you know, brick and mortar, and you need to be in best, you know, you need to have a book published and it needs to be in all the bookstores. I'm going, no, you don't. There's a whole new shift. Now, is it fun to walk in a bookstore and see your book on a shelf, like 600 of your, you know, books on a shelf? Yeah, but if they don't sell, now I don't, the one thing I like doing is protecting people's investment. So I love like Telesasquatch, my app. What I love about this app is that they do it, but you don't have to spend a fortune marketing it unless there's a reason to. So what you guys are doing, you're publishing electronically, and you control it, and you're not going to a printer, you know, old school, and killing trees, making, you know, 20,000, you know, paperbacks that sit on a shelf. And I respect that. And I think that, you know, we've got to look at holistically what we do. You know, do I like a paperback when I'm on a plane? Yes. But I'd rather not kill a tree and then put it on my iPad and read it off my iPad because I'm not killing a tree. So, you know what I mean? So I think we need to be socially aware and social conscious and protect our environment and how we are entertained. Anyway,
well,
I'm not soapbox,
I look at it
sorry.
This way too. Technology really helps us a lot too. You know, like with my book that's about ready to come out, I'm going to be having it go pre-order on Amazon the 1st of November. And then it'll go live the 1st of December for Chris is a Christmas story. But I'm trying to think of how best I can really give people more bang for their buck, because I'm like you, Randall. Money's hard, and there's no way I could charge a fortune. I would feel so guilty. I would rather sell more of my books for lesser price than try to slap a high price on and, you know, wonder why people aren't buying it. And so I thought about it, and what I'm doing right now, and you're talking about technology, I'm in the process of making an audio book of this novella that I have coming out for Christmas. And what I'm going to do is for the people that buy the ebook, you know, through the pre-order and everything, they're going to get a free copy of the audio book that I'm making. So it's not costing me anything other than my time. But I'm able to give my readers a little extra added, because not only will they have the ebook, but they'll also have the audiobook as a free gift.
Right.
That's great.
Smart marketing.
You know, and so that's things that we can do as independents, you know. And so, yeah, I'm totally like you. Independents, we have a lot more freedom.
Yeah, besides being independent, I look at technology and I'm going, isn't it better that we deliver electronically than any other way? I think I mentioned this on the last show, but I'm going to say it again, is in the early years of high definition, you know, I made a lot of enemies saying, I hate 35 millimeter film being sent to movie theaters to show movies. We have to do it electronically. We have to do it digitally because we're killing the environment. Because if you know, a top movie would come out, they would make 3,000 prints. That means 3,000, you know, it was tarnishing plastic and all the three different chemicals to make the film print from a negative to a positive, and then they would package them up and they would ship them to all the movie theaters that had, you know, the projection. You know, they would put them on the projection, and they would put, you know, the big reels. And I was going, you're killing, you know, yes, I love the entertainment business. Yes, I love movies, but you're killing our environment by making 35 millimeter prints, and you're making, you know, 3,000 of them and sending them out. And now what they do is a hard drive, you know, it's a digital, whether it's projected, digitally projected off a hard drive or they stream it. There's a different ways that the movie theaters get the movie. But at the end of the day, you know, and I don't want to mention companies, but I made a lot of enemies back then. They're going, well, that's our business. I'm going, yeah, but you're killing our environment. Stop it. So so you need to embrace change. And you know, are those companies out of business? No, they just had to dance to the right or dance to the left to keep in business. That's what's, you know, what I love about where we are today is that it's hard to make movies, but isn't it brilliant that you can buy a 4K camera for $5,000? That's enough. Mm-hmm. And that means a young filmmaker can make an image good enough to go in any movie theater in the world. How cool
mm-hmm.
is that?
Yep, it is. It is. Well, it's my dog's turn to be barking outside. Well, guys, I hate to break the news to you, but we have exactly 5 minutes and 19 seconds left until Blog Talk shuts us off. So it went way too fast. Doug and Randall, I look forward to your movie. Keep us posted, and we'll kind of help promote as much as we can. Is there any last-minute things you want to say before we got to say goodnight?
I'll let Doug finish. I'm done.
Linda, Lisa, thank you very much for the opportunity of telling a little bit about the Sandy Shore story. And from here on out, it's God spreading the news.
Oh, Swoon. We will. We want to let everybody know that we have the links for your social media. We also have the link to your little fundraising there on it's on the Deadly Reads blog website. We have it there for the in the Deadly Reads link for the month of September. Mm-hmm. We also have it here on Blog Talk. So people go in there, hook up with the guys on their social media. Go in there and help them get some funds going, and we will see you guys at the movies.
Thanks. Right. It was a blast.
Hey,
thank you
so much. And Sandy right. Shore, I look forward to directing you on a Vegas stage.
Let's get it done.
Bye, guys.
Night, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Night.
Good night.
Oh, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Okay.
Yep.
Well, let's see here. Next week, we are going to be talking movies again, this time with Dwayne Cox. He
mm-hmm.
is from, hold on, let me get there. He is from Meltdown Entertainment. And we look forward to that evening. Lisa will be in Hog Heaven again. You know, anything to do with movies, Lisa's all about it, so.
Yeah, he'll be bringing a couple of friends, his partners with him too, I believe. So.
Oh, okay,
that'll
cool.
That'll be exciting. Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
That sounds like a good time. Well, I really enjoyed tonight. I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to seeing what Doug and Randall do as far as the Sandy Shore story. I got tongue-tied. That's just too many S's in a row for me.
It sounds interesting. It does sound interesting. I look forward to it. And the whole Las Vegas Strip, that's always been interesting. I've never made it to Vegas myself. And so,
and that little bit of his singing at the end, he's got a good voice, so that should be really good.
Nice voice, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it made me
swoon. And that Randall, I absolutely adore Randall. So.
Oh, I do too. Randall
he's
is
so
the best.
Intelligent. Yeah,
he is.
Such a nice guy.
He's a good person. Yep, he is. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, it's been another fun week here on Deadly Reads Radio, Journey into the Night. We hope everybody mm-hmm. had as much fun as Lisa and I did visiting with Randall and Doug. And
mm-hmm.
we hope you'll join us next week, same time, same place, same channel. So,
good night.
Good night, everybody.